Ladies and gentlemen, where the opponent? Now, friends, he was speaking of the sin, made quite a quibble about the sin. You remember 1 John 1 and 8? If we say we have no sin, singular, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we all have that. We got it somewhere, started somewhere. The Bible teaches it started when we were born. Psalms 53, 58 and 3, they go forth as soon as they're born, speaking lies. That was fine. That's the Bible. Holy Ghost said that, brother. You say, well, I can't even speak when they're born. Did you ever see one lying in the crib on the bed, both hands and feet up in the air, going round and round, screaming like they were dying? If you don't come and get me, you'll have a dead baby, and then you pick it up and it laughs at you for believing it's lying. Now, when God says a thing, he'd mark it down as so far you understand it's not. He can't understand about John the Baptist. The very next verse there, somebody else couldn't, brother, and said, all things are possible but God. The very next verse there about John, you know, he leaped before he was born in his mother's body. When he heard the salutation. Now, he said, if I would preach, I preach everything in the Bible that he preaches and that he won't preach and cannot preach, and when he does, it's church, but that's communicated. He said, if I'll preach the Bible, he'll say amen. I haven't heard him say amen to Acts 2:17 yet. And Brother Sutton, the Bible said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and you don't covet them, you oppose them. I'm preaching the gospel building up and you're tearing down. I'm telling the people what God can do and you're telling the people what God cannot do. Amen. He said something about my speech. I'll guarantee, Brother Sutton, that some of your own people were enlightened, and that's what I'm trying to do, enlighten people, help them to see. I didn't say that assemblies and church members could get the Holy Ghost. That isn't my theme and subject. It's believers, not church members, believers. Now, he said, I said snakes could have the Holy Ghost. Now, he said it's on the tape. If you find that and play it, I'll get up in his church if they'll let me and apologize and come over to Brother Frank's church and apologize. I did not say God would baptize snakes or any animals. That's a quibble and something he added to it. Now, here's what I said. He's the one said that. He asked the question, all flesh? And he included that subject himself. Well, I said, that reminds me. In the days of Noah, the Spirit of God moved upon the animals and brought them into the ark, and Jesus said, as it was, so shall it be. But now, Brother Sutton, you're busy writing, but please listen to this. I'm reading Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. In the fifth verse, still talking about Christ, and righteousness shall be his, Christ, verily, and faithfulness his reigns. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion, and the fatlings together. The little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall feed, and lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The sucking child will play upon the den of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hands upon the adder's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, God does nothing in the earth except through the Spirit. The Spirit moved upon the earth to separate the waters from the land. And the Spirit will move upon those animals and take away that poison vicious nature they had, and they'll be gentle as a house cat. That's when the devil is bound. The Lord's day that you call Sunday is 1,000 years of peace on earth and goodwill to man. The Holy Spirit will dominate these that were one time wild, vicious animals, and nothing shall hurt or destroy the Almighty Holy Mount, saith the Lord. Amen. Brother Sam, pardon me. Brother Sutton, do you believe that Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If it wasn't in favor of your, if it opposed your doctrine, you wouldn't believe it, because nowhere does the Bible say Jesus received the baptism. And he said, now brother, and this is on the tape, he said that Jesus, the Holy Ghost, was not given to him by measure. Says, speaking to Jesus. Now I want to ask, Brother Holland, you have the scripture there. Read John 3:33 and 34. Listen to it. I'll repeat it, quote the phrases.
He that hath received his testimony.
He that hath received, he is the word he is Christ, the word he is you. He that hath received Christ's testimony, read.
Hath set to his seal.
That man is set to his seal.
That God is true.
That God is true. Now listen.
For he whom God has sent.
Now he just said, Jesus said, he whom God has sent. Listen.
Speaketh the words of God.
Speaks the word of God. He's speaking against the word, and I'm speaking the word. He whom God sent speaketh the word of God. Why?
For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. And Brother Holland, are those two last words unto him in italic letters? Absolutely are. King James translated has added those two words in, and they were not in the inspired. Jesus didn't say, John didn't say, unto him. Said, he whom God sends. The one that believes God's report has set to his seal as God is true, and him whom God has sent, he giveth not the Spirit by measure. God doesn't give anybody the Spirit by measure. The Spirit is divided up in pieces and handed out. God didn't give the Spirit by measure to me, nor to anyone else. We either have the Spirit or we do not have. You told the truth, brother, when you said to the regenerated man, he is saved, Christ dwells in his heart by faith. And that's the third strongest substance in the world, faith. And the sanctified man, Romans 5:5, he dwells in his heart by faith and love. And the Spirit-filled saint, he dwells in his heart by faith, love, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for mentioning that so I can pass it on to the people rightly divided. Now, Brother Sutton a while ago said that only the apostles had power. I wish you'd hear this too, Brother Sutton. He looketh that unto him. Well, you'll find italic letters if you've got a teacher's Bible. He said the apostles had power to lay hands on others and impart the Holy Ghost. And these that the apostles laid hands on had power to perform miracles, but they couldn't transfer the Holy Ghost because they weren't apostles, and therefore miracles cease and the Holy Ghost is no longer imparted. Brother Sutton, Brother Hutto, help him to remember this one. Who laid hands on the Apostle Paul? Was he an apostle? He wasn't even a preacher, so far as I know, just a certain man, Ananias, devout man. Not even a preacher. But he laid hands on the great beloved Apostle Paul, and Paul received the Holy Ghost, said, thank God I speak with tongues. Yes, more than you all, not more tongues, but tongues more. Some people think that means more language, but he didn't say more tongues. He said, thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. He says he thanks God, or he acts it, thank God I don't speak with tongues. And Paul said, the things you see in me, that do. Paul spoke in tongues, and you have a commandment to follow Paul. Now, he also inferred, my friend, that if I had the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't make a mistake, and I could just write a Bible, so to speak, and quote the Bible verbatim, read his mind, and the Spirit tell me whether to read his letter or not. You know, Jesus said, when he preached, he got up and read a text. When he found the place, he read the text. And Peter said, we can but speak the things that we do know and have heard. And Peter had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus said he'll bring to your memory things that have said, and he certainly will do that at the time he'll glorify his name. Amen. And to write the Bible, Mark was not an apostle, he wrote the second book. Luke was not an apostle, he wrote two of the biggest books in the Bible. Some of the apostles who had the Holy Ghost didn't write in the Bible. He said the Holy Ghost was given to perform miracles, and Christ gave them power to raise dead, cast out the devil, and cleanse the leper before the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was given them as a power to witness, and the reason why my opponent cannot preach the full gospel, he doesn't have the power to witness. When he receives the Holy Ghost baptism, he'll speak in tongues. He'll thank God he does. He'll believe in it. He'll covet the best gifts. God said, commanded him to covet earnestly the best gift. Now look, friends, you can sit there and grin at this if you want to, but I'm going to tell you the highest honor that ever come to mortal is the great Holy Ghost come into your body and take control of your vocal organ and talk direct to God in a language even the devil and no one else can understand. One man came by and said, the devil can't understand you, preacher. I said, didn't I know that? But you want me to take the tuck head over the fact that I can talk to God in a language the devil can't understand? I feel exalted and highly honored. Amen. Brother, certainly looks to me like the ice is getting pretty thin. It's so thin you've fallen through, and he's crying, help, 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 help. Now, the great apostle Jude, not Iscariot, even the Lord's brother, when he said, I'll give you this paracletus, this comforter, so on, and Jude said, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Paul Jude thought that was exclusive for the apostles. And Jesus said, if a man love me and keep my commandments, my Father and I will come unto him and make our abode in him. So Jude had that idea. It's not for anyone but us. And he asked the Lord, well, why are you doing that for us? You won't do it for others. And he said the Holy Ghost was given in the household of Cornelius to convince the Jews that God loved the Gentiles. Now, didn't the Lord go a long ways around, you know, to convince the Jews something? Gave the Gentiles the Holy Ghost before water baptism to convince the Jews that he loved the Gentiles. Well, I think of what Peter said, brother, in the 15th chapter. He said God gave them the Holy Ghost and is us in the beginning, put no difference between them and us. Amen. He didn't give the apostles the cow and the Gentiles the milk. The Gentiles get the very same thing the apostles received. Amen. In 10th chapter of Acts, some of these fellows have been in media so long, some in a revival, we call them Peter's evangelistic party. They went with him over there, and when he saw the household of Cornelius receive the Holy Ghost, listen. They marveled. Well, what do you know? Gentiles are receiving the Holy Ghost. They marveled. They marveled that on the Gentiles also was poured out. Well, what do you know? We Jews thought we had something that the Gentiles couldn't have. And right before our eyes, he's poured it out on the Gentiles. How do you know? For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, why doesn't he preach that? He can't preach it for three reasons. He doesn't believe it, he doesn't have it, and he loves his church when he does God and the Word. Amen? He's been put in the night on this chart. that the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit cease in AD 64. We've gone through that thoroughly. They used 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where it said, that which is in part shall be done away with when that which is perfect is come. And they say that which is perfect is the New Testament. Well, the New Testament is complete, and we still have wisdom in part and prophecy in part.
Amen.
Now, he didn't say speaking tongues shall be done away with. He said that which is in part. What did he say was in part? We prophesy in part, and we know in part. And didn't say we speak in tongues in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now he said tongues, and that's plural. Languages, the plurality of tongues and languages will cease. And the time will come, will be one universal language spoken around the earth and understood without an interpreter. Zephaniah 3:9, if you want to read it. I'm contending tonight that the Holy Spirit baptism is for believers today as it was in the days of the apostles. That the apostle received on the day of Pentecost was called poured out by Joel, filled, received, shed forth, fell upon by Luke. Then if the Holy Ghost fills me, I'm not baptized, according to his argument. But Acts 2:4, Luke did not say these apostles were baptized. He said they were filled. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. For Dr. Kahn, and he is a doctor, and he earned it, and a great man. He preaches full sermon in my church. I was state overseer of Louisiana. He's my youth director. He's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. And there's no division between Brother Kahn and Brother Bass. Now listen to this. I said on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in a language they can understand. But I said, why would they be speaking in... I said the other two. Just a minute now. I said when they were speaking in the Holy Spirit language, as the Spirit gave utterance before either one of the 17 nations assembled. This was not abroad. Wow. 120 speaking tongues as the evidence of the baptism. Jesus said, when he comes, he'll speak. And he began to speak when he comes. This was not abroad. The multitude came together, said, what does it mean? Mocked, amazed, confounded, and said, the drunk. Then the Spirit began to speak in the various languages until 17 nations. That's the gift of tongues. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I do not have the gift of tongues. I prayed for the sick and have been healed. I do not have the gift of faith. God said for me to use my proportion of faith. And if I can't perform miracles, I'm going to use what little I do have and feed it and hope it'll grow and use it as I can. God dealt every man a measure, every man a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Remember the sixth verse, he said, let every man according to the proportion. So that man's measure has increased on in proportion as his faith increases, let him work. If I never attain to a miraculous faith or the gift of faith, I'll use the amount of faith that God has given me and not criticize anyone else.
1 minute.
But God did not give the Holy Ghost to perform miracles. They performed miracles before the day of Pentecost. God did not give them the Holy Ghost to write a Bible. And he said he'd preach the Bible. And if you notice, Brother Sutton, the verse that you so famously have, the water baptism is to be with us forever. Matthew 28, over there. You know what you have your quote tonight, last night. The Holy water baptism is to be with us forever. And the last verse said, teaching them, you and me, the apostle, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, the apostles. Whatever I've commanded you, apostles, I want you to teach all nations to observe that. You probably never noticed that. You got so much, your mind so much on the baptism and water that you didn't notice that. Teaching all nations to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That I've commanded you, teach them to observe it. As far as the water baptism being with us forever, the Bible said, I'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's here. Pardon me. Thank you.
Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Bass, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to be here before you now for the next 20 minutes in opposition to the things that are error that Mr. Batts has suggested, and in defense of what the Word of God says. We're having a good discussion, and I believe that all of us can profit by it if we'll keep in mind that we'll give account in the day of judgment for everything that we say as well as what we do. Because either what I say that the Bible teaches is not so, or what Mr. Batts says it teaches is not so. I would like to say before we notice some things that he suggested that he did not answer my questions, did not even tell us whether the Spirit told him not to. Now, I don't believe he wants to blame the Spirit with his failure, so he won't tell us the Spirit told him not to, I don't think. But now, I believe all I know why that he wouldn't answer these questions. And if he ever asked one question, he says, now, you put that down, you answer. Well, I come with an answer. He feels no obligation whatever to answer questions that I ask him. You know why? He knows why, and I know why, and he knows that we all know why. But you know, Mr. Batts has left the impression with many of you from night to night, and even again tonight, that I've been rather mean and ugly in some ways. And he said in his speech tonight that I love the church more than I love the Word. Now, I guess Mr. Batts knows that the Bible says, judge not, that you be not judged. He says he knows it. Now, what is he doing? Can he look into my heart and know whether I love the church more than the Word of God? Now, that's what he's trying to do. But I'd like to suggest to you that here's what I've done. I have presented scriptural arguments each night. I've refuted by scriptural arguments his unscriptural position. I've pressed Mr. Batts in order to get him to see and get you to see that his doctrine is false. Before this discussion began, he suggested that both of us press our points as vigorously as possible. That's what I tried to do. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3:12, that seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I've used plain speech, but I have not made a personal attack upon Mr. Batts. I haven't done so. I've exposed his doctrine. I've suggested that he's a false teacher. That's just as far as it's gone. I've pressed him. I've shown his inconsistencies. I've shown the logical conclusions to his arguments. That's as far as I've gone. But I'd like for you to notice some of the things that he's done thus far. Now, today we took time to jot down from the tapes some of the things that he's accused me of. And I'd like you to be the judge as to whether or not I've been ugly and how nice he is. He says, false accuser, lacking in faith, total unbelief, mostly charges and accusations and reflections, blowing his horn real intelligent, ridiculous absurdities he put off. He puts out and he calls it the gospel. He's got too much wisdom. He's puffed up on it. That's preposterous, ridiculous, absurd, and bordering on blasphemy. That's perverse doctrine. When he's suffering and struggling, he resorts to statements to reflect and misrepresentations on statements I've made. Now, keep in mind, I'm telling you what he said about me. He said further, the reason it wasn't funny was because it didn't suit his little puny theory. Nonsense. He's the ungodly man without the Spirit. And then he accused the Church of Christ of trusting in themselves that they're righteous and despising others. In addition to all of this, he compared me to, implied that I was like grievous wolves, wild beasts, mockers and ungodly men, simple ones, scorners and fools, those who add sin to sin but pray unto God for forgiveness, stiff-necked and hard-hearted unbelievers. And then he went on to say, this kind of a man will devour your soul, and says baptism for him is only a sinner ducking a sinner. He compared me to a drunken, peg-legged man with this that was stuck in the mud going around and around. I haven't resorted to things like that. You know that I haven't. Now, I've pressed him. I've shown his inconsistencies. I've shown that he's teaching false doctrine, but I haven't gone to that extreme whatever, and I don't intend to. But I thought you'd be interested in just having all that added up to see what a nice fellow he is. And yet he said, after saying all of this, he says, now when I say something, I give you book, chapter, and verse. And then he criticized me for saying Mr. Batt said something. Now you think about it. And then he criticized the audience several times for laughing a little. And I caught him laughing two or three times. But you know, he's criticized you for laughing a little bit. Now, we don't want anybody to be boisterous. But if you ever chuckle a little bit, sometimes he'd make like you were out of order, and he'd criticize you, and yet sometimes he'd laugh. And then I'll just wait about that, though. He's a nice fellow, though. He's real nice, and we appreciate his being here with us. In fact, I'd like to urge him to come back again. We'd like to extend an invitation to him to come back, and let us have some more discussions, because discussions do good. It opens people's eyes. It gets people studying the Bible when they haven't studied much before. And so we're asking Mr. Bass to come back and discuss on the same propositions, the same rules, or either we'll go to other propositions. I'll be glad to discuss the church government with him, feet washing, instrumental music, just anything. Won't make any difference if we get enough time on it. So we'll let him tell us what he thinks about that when he comes before us. But I'd like for us to notice now that Mr. Bass said that Matthew 28 and verse 20, that says, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, shows that whatever he commanded the apostles, then that's the very thing that we ought to do because we're commanded to do it. Now, really, I doubt that Mr. Batts really believes that. Now, that's what he said. And so then his conclusion was, since he commanded them to receive Holy Spirit baptism, although I deny that he did give such a command. He gave a promise of it, but not a command. But anyway, I'd like for us to notice that on one occasion, that Jesus Christ in Matthew 10 called his 12 disciples, and the Bible shows how that he sent them out. And then when he sent them out, he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now those were commands that Jesus Christ gave the apostles. He said whatever Jesus Christ commanded the apostles, he commanded them to command us. Therefore then he commanded them to command Mr. Bass to raise the dead, to cast out devils, heal the sick, and so forth. And yet he said he couldn't do that. He didn't claim any miraculous power. He doesn't claim any. Well, you're not doing what God commands you to do then, are you? Now, he asked for it. He said, I didn't know the verses in there. I'm glad he found it for me. Yeah, I'm glad he brought it up. I know it now, and I believe he does. And I believe he knows what it says, too. Now, here's what that passage is really saying. That the apostles were to teach others whatever Jesus Christ had commanded them to teach. Not to do, but what they were to teach. Now, whatever the apostles were commanded to teach me, that's what I must do. It doesn't say what he commanded them to do. That's where he missed it. I'm glad you brought it up. What about it? And then he said, now, yeah, we want to get to that. Concerning the animals, you know, Mr. Back said that he didn't say that animals would receive the beast, or the beast received the Holy Spirit, rather, and so forth. But now let's notice this. Now, he said it this on the tape. If he'll play it, I'll apologize. I believe he said it in the church. Is that what he said? All right, he said it is. Let's notice this. Now, I took verbatim from the tape today what I'm going to read you that he said last night. And if he denies it's on the tape, then we'll stop the debate
we'll hold time, we'll put the tape on, and we'll play the tape and see if it says what I say it does. And if it doesn't, then I'll apologize. Now, that's fair enough, isn't it? He says it is, so we're making progress. Quote, now he said, and this is Mr. Bass talking, quote, now he said, he is sure that I don't believe the Spirit will be poured out in the last days on all flesh. Well, I'm glad he reminded me of it. The Bible actually does teach that. Brother, even on the bat, the lion, and even on the snakes. You know, in the days of Noah, they wouldn't. The people grieved and begged the Holy Spirit and would not recognize and honor him. And God had to fill the ark with something, and so the Spirit moved upon the wild beast and got them into the ark. As it was, so shall it be. And if you'll read your Bible, it teaches that a little child will play with the snake and lead a leopard, the lion and the ox will eat straw together. All nations and nations will learn law no more. Nothing shall hurt, nor destroy all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So if the people won't let God pour his Spirit out upon them, why, then he'll pour it out upon the beast of the earth. Now you can laugh, now you can't laugh that off, or now you can laugh that off if you want to, but it's in Grandma's Bible and Brother Sutton's too. End of quotation. Now further, I've got another quotation, and this time he was commenting on Proverbs 1, 22 and 23. He said, I'll pour it out on you. And Joel used the word pour out. And Peter, Christ, and John the Baptist referred to it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unquote. He did say that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on the beast. And he said by pour out that John the Baptist, Peter, and Christ meant Holy Ghost baptism. Now, if he wants us to play the tapes, we'll play the tapes. There it stands. Somebody will apologize if he goes through with it. But I doubt that he will, but I hope he does. You notice Mr. Bass didn't answer the arguments I presented on either one of these charts. He didn't answer what I had to say about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But I notice this. Mr. Bass did say that in John 3 and in verse 34 that the Bible was not referring to Jesus Christ, didn't it? He said that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Say, now, unto him is in italics, and it is. But let me ask you this. It says, he whom God hath sent. Now, that's the one God giveth not the Spirit by measure to. That's what he said. That's what I say. That's what Jesus said. But he said that it's not Jesus Christ. Well, notice this, whom God hath sent, past tense. He said it's talking about me and him. No, it's not. God had sent at the time of John 3. Whom had God sent? He had sent Jesus Christ, his son. He hadn't sent Mr. Bass. What about that? He whom God hath sent. Here's the words of God. And God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He whom God has sent is Jesus Christ. But he says that it's not. Well, now, you know he didn't want to take what Mr. Kahn had to say because a while ago. But I have here Mr. Wade Horton. Well, Mr. Kahn was just an assistant overseer, but Mr. Wade Horton is the overseer. So I'm going to read what Mr. Wade Horton has to say about John 3:34. On page 16 of the book entitled Pentecost Yesterday by Mr. Wade Horton, Jesus himself was full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1. The scriptures declare that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. John 3:34. End of quotation. You want to see it, Mr. Bass? Now, if you won't accept the assistant superintendent or overseer, maybe you'll take the overseer. I'd like him to debate with Mr. Wade Horton, too, and I moderate for him. Yeah, I moderate. I'll keep time. So I'd like him, Brother Hutto, will take care of the moderation when he debates Mr. Connor. He says there's no difference between him and Mr. Kahn on this matter, but friends, it is. Now, I want to show you that Mr. Batt says, he knows I didn't misrepresent either him nor Mr. Kahn. You read the book if you want to act this over. Mr. Batt says in Acts 2, when the apostles first began speaking in tongues, that it was the unknown tongue that could not be understood by men. Then, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Then God set the gift of tongues in the church through Peter, and they began to speak in languages that people could understand. That's what he said. But now here's what Mr. Kahn had to say when the disciples first spake in tongues. This isn't the second speaking that you're talking about. This is the first one. So you are crossed up with Mr. Kahn. You deny what Mr. Kahn said. You don't agree with him. Mr. Kahn says when the first disciples first spoke in tongues, it was in clear, precise, understandable languages. Page 57. You can read them if you'd like to. I wish you would. You don't agree with them. He doesn't. Yet all of them claim Holy Spirit baptism. I'd like for us to follow the instructions of John in 1 John 4:1. John says to us, believe not every spirit, but kind of spirit, because many false prophets go out into the world. So here's a command that's been given by inspiration. I'm doing exactly what inspiration commanded. He said, try the spirit. Revelation 2 said that some had tried those who said they were apostles and were not and found them to be liars. So I'm going to try my opponent. He claimed to have what the apostles had. He claimed they had Holy Spirit baptism. He said that he had it. And so let us try him. John says too, another night Mr. Batt says too. I'm following John's advice and Mr. Batt's also. So I'm going to try. The apostles brought the signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Does the opponent work the signs of an apostle? Does he? Can he raise the dead, heal the sick, impart the Holy Spirit in miraculous manner? The apostles do it. Now what about it? We're trying and we're going to see if he's got what they had. As you notice, the apostles received power, Acts 1:8 says, and ye shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses in my name and so forth. Now he says that he doesn't have any power, particularly except for witness. You mean that that's all power the apostles got? Well, now what power did he use when they spake in tongues? And what power did he use when proof was revealed to them? And when they did many wonders and signs, Acts 2:43. When they healed a lame man, Acts 3. When they healed everyone, Acts 5:12-17. When they imparted the Holy Spirit to others in Acts 8:18, then how did they do that if they had no power? You mean they didn't witness back before they got Holy Spirit baptism? He said, well, they healed some sick back before that. Yeah, and they bore witness back before that too, didn't they? So according to his logic, they didn't have any power to do anything. But then shows that in all of these things, Acts 9 shows that Peter raised the man from raised the woman from the dead. And Acts 20 shows Paul raised one from the dead, a man. And then in Acts 13, we find Paul blinded a false teacher. Now, if Mr. Batt had what the apostles had, he could blind me because he says I'm a false teacher. I believe he would if he could. But he is nice. Jesus said, now somebody said, well now, what about it? I'm doing what John said, what Mr. Batt said, and what Jesus said. Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16. Now he doesn't have any of the fruits that the apostles had, therefore he doesn't have what they had. If he had the power they had, he could produce the fruit they produced. I'm trying the spirit like Mr. Batt said last night and night before last. Now I want him to go with Mr. Kahn now. Now I want him to straighten Mr. Wade Horton out too. They agree with me on one of these points. In fact, on both of them. They agree with me and not him. Now if I'm a false teacher, they are too, and they've got Holy Spirit baptism, so they claim like he says he's got it. Did the Holy Spirit lead them one way and you another way?
1 minute.
No, here's why they're right on some of these points, is because on those particular points, they took what God said. And I agree with them, but not because they said it, but because that's what God said. To No, Mr. Batts wanted to know if anybody could not impart the Holy Spirit except the apostles, and what about Ananias laying his hands on Saul? I challenge Mr. Batts to show that Ananias imparted the Holy Ghost to Saul by laying on of hands. I deny that he did. And then we think of it when he comes up and mentions it. And then he says you should covet the best gifts the Bible commands us to, yet he says he doesn't have any. I wonder why he doesn't have some of them. Why don't you have some of them? You said you've been preaching a long time. Can't you get them? Don't you desire? Aren't you coveting them? And if you are, why doesn't God listen to you? Thank you very kindly.